Well, good morning, Gospel Life Church and visitors. My name is Gordon Montgomery, and I have the privilege of standing in for Trey and John and even Daniel. Daniel's here. He's been sick. John is with his mom in Arkansas, and Trey and a bunch of our folks are in Montana on a mission trip. And thank you, Paul, for praying over all of them earlier. We have 39 verses to cover in just a few minutes. I'm just going to preach a small 27-point sermon, so not really. But let's begin in Acts. We're continuing on in Acts, and Trey preached from Acts 13 last week, and y'all recall about the Elymas, the magician, opposed them, and he was seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And you remember Paul stood up and he said, "You son of the devil, you are the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see for a time." And so the Lord struck him with blindness. And then from there they carry on to a place called Paphos and Perga. And we'll just continue on in Acts 13, verse 13. "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, 'Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it.' So Paul stood up and motioning with his hands, he said, 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All of this took about 450 years, and after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and John was finishing his course. He said, "What do you suppose that I am? I'm not he. No, but behold, after me, one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I'm not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who lived in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death," underline that, "and though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have Jesus executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb but God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God had promised to our fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And as far as the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Therefore, he says in another psalm, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." For David, after he had served the purposes of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells you." And they went out to the people. The people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold," I love this, "we are turning to the Gentiles." Say amen. Oh, come on. Do you know what that means? We'll get back to that in a minute. Turning to the Gentiles. "For the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region, but the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Okay, that's a lot, all right? So, I want you to see, just right out of the gate, that there's a priority for the gospel, okay? Paul and Barnabas went to this place. They set sail from Paphos, and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them. Now, John Mark left. We don't know exactly why. Some say there was a disagreement, and it probably was. Or he was just, I saw I can't even remember what it was. It was a little clip of John Mark talking about, you know, somebody impersonating John Mark, telling why he had left, and he said, "Hey, I'm I'm a mama's boy. You know, I come from, you know, a lot of riches, and I was off in this place, and it was hard, and so he left. Whatever the reason is, John Mark left and went back to Jerusalem. But they went on to Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up, motioning with his hands, and he said, "Men of Israel, you who fear God, listen." Listen. Every time Paul would go to a new place, the very first thing he would do was go to the synagogue and teach. Why? Because there's a priority for the gospel. There's a priority for the gospel. Listen, that should rank the highest on our list of priorities. If you're here today and you have been born again, it ought to be our priority not only to tell others what Jesus has done in our lives, but what he can do in theirs. I was at the prison last night. I got to preach last night, and I actually preached this same message last night. And the guys there, many of them are Christians. And their priority inside Marshall County, we've changed the name. It used to be Marshall County Correctional Facility. Now it's Marshall County Christian Facility, because God is saving men there by the hundreds. I mean, they're just being saved all the time. So why is that? Because there's a priority for the gospel. You know, they don't sit around and mope and say, "Oh, you know, we're behind bars and we've done these terrible things and you know, our life is over." No, God has changed them and called them. And these guys, if you need prayer, these guys are your prayer warriors. They get a hold of God. They know how to call on the name of the Lord. And man, I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing. We FaceTimed John last night from the prison. And that's a cool thing, because you just don't get to do that from prison. FaceTime from prison. So we FaceTimed John, and they just prayed over John and Miss Virginia. And it was just a precious thing. So keep John and Miss Virginia in your prayers, and the whole Singer family, and even those on mission in Montana. Why did they go to Montana? Because there's a priority for the gospel. Why do we go and do what we do? You know, if you ever have told anybody about Jesus, you're carrying out God's design for our lives. We are to glorify God and to share, make disciples, just like the gospel life. Amen? So, the priority. Paul went, and can you imagine what that was like? Going into the synagogues, and the Jewish people believing that the Messiah had not even come. And then they coming in and telling them, "Hey, you killed the Messiah. You murdered him. Even when you found that there was no guilt in him, you asked Pilate to have him crucified. You killed the King of Glory." That didn't sit well with them. We'll get to that in a minute. The priority of the gospel. I want to ask you a question. Is where in your priority list is the gospel? Think about that. Have you been sharing what God has done in your life with others? Well, let me just tell you that if you're not, and I find myself not at times, I do, and I'm very convicted of it. How many times have you missed an opportunity and you just know you've missed it? You know, I was coming back from Coro Lake yesterday. Well, first of all, I was driving there and I saw this lady with a sign and it said tamales. And I'm like, ooh, tamales. I got to get some of those. So, I she needed to move, not right there at the driveway, but she needed to move up because when people come past and see, they're already past them. So there's no place to turn around. So I said, you know what, I'll just get them when I come back. Well, came back by, all the tamales sold out, gone. And there were people standing around, where'd that tamale person go? You know, and so there was a food truck there. And there was a lady and her daughter there, and I got to share my testimony with them. And she said, what are the chances of, you coming here and we're coming here looking for tamales and you share the gospel with us in the middle of Eudora, Mississippi at a food truck? I said, I think God's trying to do something. And I invited them to church and they said, yeah, we'll be there. Are y'all here? No. I didn't. I prayed that they would come. But how many times have you heard somebody say, yeah, I'll come to church, I'll be there, and they don't show? But that's okay. They still heard a little bit of what God had done in my life. Are you sharing with folks what God has done in your life? I don't care if you're young, old. It doesn't matter. If you are born again, Avalon, you've got a story to tell. Amen. Lillian, you do too. Everybody here that's come to know Jesus. Jacob, you got a story to tell. Share it. There's a priority for the gospel. Well, not only that, but there needs to be a proclamation of the gospel. In verses 16 through 41, Paul got up. The first thing they messed up with was saying, anybody want to share? Paul's like, yeah, hold my Bible. Anyway, so he got up and he just waylaid them, He traced back the history of Israel's history and presents Jesus as the promised Savior. And he says, yeah, y'all killed him. And so he was proclaiming the gospel. So that, those 16 through 41, like I said, he just goes back and he traces the lineage of Jesus, how that the children of Israel were in Egypt and brought them out of the land of Egypt. And I looked up these nations that God destroyed, and I thought I had them memorized, but I don't. But it was the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. A lot of ites, but he just destroyed them all. For what purpose? So that Canaan, verse 19 says, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. He gave it to them, the children of Israel, as an inheritance. So the application here in this verse, or these verses, is that the church's primary mission is to proclaim Christ clearly and faithfully. So there's a priority for the gospel. There's a proclamation. There needs to be a proclamation of the gospel. But then because of that, there is a polarization because of the gospel. Now, y'all picking up, I like to alliterate my points. I'm an old school preacher like John's back there. And we went to the same seminary back in the day, long before Trey went. But we were taught, you know, this at least, do you preach that way? Alliteration or just, yeah, see there. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's so many different styles of preaching, you know, going verse by verse by verse, and that's what we need to do. And so in verse 42, you'll see this. There's a polarization because of the gospel. Look, if you will, in verse 42. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Polarization is a division into two conflicting or contrasting groups. The gospel separates. You hear me? The gospel is an offense. Think about the first time you ever heard the gospel. Were you happy about it? I wasn't. How many of you it made mad? The first time somebody told you about Jesus, it kind of made you mad because nobody was upset about the gospel. Okay, all right. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. See, when I heard the gospel, it was against everything that I lived for. So it was offensive to me. And so these Jews heard that somebody's calling them out for killing the King of Glory, and that didn't set well with them, and they start trying to, you know, cause an uprising, and eventually they run them out of town. But the gospel polarizes because it is so powerful. It divides. The gospel always divides people according to their response to Christ. When you preach the gospel, you got two groups of people. Some that will listen and heed the gospel, and others who will shun it and reject the gospel. Every time I preach, or every time a preacher preaches, or every time that a minister or somebody, or even yourselves, proclaims the gospel to a group of people, there's always going to be two sets of people. Those who will believe, and those who will not. Every single time. So I wonder today, if you're hearing the gospel, have you received the gospel? Have you received Jesus? Have you realized by the Holy Spirit touching your heart, saying, hey, you're undone. You're not ready for heaven. If you died today, you would not be with me in paradise. That's the Holy Spirit. Man, when I hear the gospel, it excites me. Why? Because I know what the gospel has done in my life. I've shared the gospel, and folks they just look like they're just ready to pounce on you, or they look like they're just miserable. You know, and you talk about Jesus and people get all weird and crazy. They don't want to hear about Jesus. You can say God all day, or the man upstairs, or the good Lord. But you say Jesus, And it separates people. People are like, whoa, wait a minute. But you say Jesus to somebody that's been born again, you're talking about, oh, my goodness, yes, Jesus. See, I know where I was, and I know how I came to know Christ, and now I know where I am today. Oh, my goodness. Y'all think back before Christ, how miserable your life was. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you're just straight up miserable. I got good news. I got the greatest news there is. Jesus. Jesus saves. Man, the old rugged cross, I'm so glad y'all sang that today. Listen, if there weren't a cross, we wouldn't have salvation. Did you know that the Bible calls Jesus the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth? Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain. What does that tell you? That tells me that God knew that we would sin, that Adam and Eve would choose sin. That tells me that every person ever born would be born separated from a holy God, and it would cost him his only son, Jesus, and he created us anyway. That beautiful, precious little baby, all right? You think, there's no way she's a sinner. Just wait. You'll see. And I promise you this, you won't have to, what's her name again? Micah. You won't have to sit her down and say, Micah, now look, honey, this is how you sin. Now, you won't have to teach her that because she was born with this sin nature. As precious as she has that sin nature that everybody is born with and that Jesus died for. So when she gets on up, I'll give you an example. She's going to be in her crib sometime. You're going to be out, you know, trying to watch a movie, and she's supposed to be asleep, and she's going to start crying. Well, you know she's got a clean diaper. You know she's been fed. She doesn't want anything other than mama or daddy to come pick her up. So in essence, she's kind of like, there's nothing really wrong, but I'm going to act like there's something wrong just so I can get my way. That's that sin nature. I know. He's like, you better quit talking about my baby. Mama and Pawpaw finna bow up on me. You better stop talking about that baby. But you know what I'm talking about. We are all born separated from a holy God. Every person who's ever been born, except for Jesus, obviously, has been born separated from a holy God. Last night I told those men, you know, if I could just beg you to come to Jesus, I mean, I am just near about begging them. But you know what? It doesn't matter if I beg somebody to come to Jesus. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. The Holy Spirit has to convict you of sin. Maybe you're here today and you think, man, if I died, I don't really know where I'd go. Or maybe you're thinking, well, you know, I'm pretty good. I think I could, you know, I think I might make it. No, let me tell you something. There's no making it on your own. You know what that says when you believe stuff like that? The way I was taught, you can be good enough to get to heaven. All of our goodness, no matter what you do, is filthy rags to a holy God. I don't like religion. Much of my life was trying to be good enough. You ever try to be good? Psh, hang it up. You cannot. You might be decent for a little while, but on your own, you're going to stink it up. I promise you, you're going to fail. You're going to fail even as a Christian. But thank God there's a Savior who forgives. All right, well, I got off on that. I'm thankful, though, in verse 46, check this out. Not only was there a priority for the gospel, proclamation, and polarization, but there was a pivotal point coming up in verse 46. It says, "And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." How many of you are Jewish here today? Anybody? We love Jewish people, no doubt. If you're not Jewish, then guess what? You're a Gentile. And so the gospel turned from the Jewish and to the Gentiles. Hey, amen. So I'm thankful because I'm a Gentile and you are too, if you're not Jewish. Okay, so in essence, what that means is the gospel is for everybody. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the most vile sinner on the planet, Jesus died for them? You think about Hitler. If he had repented of his sin, would Jesus have saved him if he cried out to Jesus for mercy and grace and believed upon Jesus? Do y'all believe that? This means yes. This means no. Hello. Anybody? Yes. Jesus can save the most vile person. And I'm so thankful. There was a pivotal point in the gospel. Well, we got to hurry up. The perseverance of the gospel. You know, when they met the opposition of the Jewish leaders, what did they do? Verse 50 and 52 says this. Excuse me, 50 through 52. "But the Jews, because of what they had said, because what they were proclaiming, incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and went to the next place, Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." They shook the dust off their feet. They continued their ministry elsewhere. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The gospel does not depend. I mean, we're a part of it, okay? Obviously, we have to proclaim the gospel. We have to share the gospel. But it's not my job to make you believe, okay? That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job, our job, is just to tell the story, to share the story. Listen, how is somebody going to be saved? Jody, come here. Jody's lost as a goose for this example, okay? All right? So, I'm saved. Jody's my friend. And I want him to be saved. Okay? So, watch this. Feeling anything yet?
No, I'm hungry.
You're hungry? Okay. What about now? Are you?
Ain't it yet.
Nothing? Nothing? hey, you know what I got to do? I know that's so simplistic. You can't just wish this dude to be saved. I mean, you can pray all day, but you got to share what Jesus has done in your life. Jody, you've been my friend for a long time. And we've talked about the weather. We talked about fishing. We talked about lifting weights. Not really. We talked about you lifting weights. And I have never talked to you about the most important thing ever is what Jesus has done in my life. Could I share that with you?
Sure.
Boom. See? Thank you. Look, it doesn't take really. I know that's scary. But if you go to people and you love them and you say, I want to see you come to Jesus. I want to see you. I want you to know what I know. You know? The gospel is just one poor beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. Whew, that's so good. So maybe you're here today. I don't know where you are spiritually. My prayer would be that every person in this room, every last one of you, would know without a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, glory would be your home. You'd be in home with Jesus in heaven forever. Amen. Amen. Well, you say, well, what about my precious baby? What if, you know, something were to happen to her? Can I tell you that that baby is safe? Okay? How do you know that? Well, remember David? He had this baby that died. And David said, I can't bring her back or bring him back, but I can go to where he is. I believe with all my heart that God put that in the scriptures to assure us that these little ones, maybe you've miscarried. Maybe you've lost a little one. And that's so, I can't even imagine what that would be like. That little young one right there, she couldn't trust Christ right now if she wanted to, you know. But she's safe. Hallelujah. She's safe in Jesus. So praise God for that. But the rest of us are old enough to make a decision for Jesus. I want to know, have you made that decision to follow Jesus? If you haven't, there's not a better day than right now to do so. If God has touched your heart, if God has said, hey, you're not ready, if you died today, you won't be with me in heaven. You can come to Jesus today. Well, how will you respond to what you've heard today? Like those who believed and rejoiced, or like those who rejected and resisted? The same Christ who Paul preached still offers forgiveness and justification and eternal life to all who will believe. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you not only brought it for the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles, for the whole world. I'm so thankful that you brought it to me. Maybe, Lord, there's somebody here that's never trusted you as Savior. Today, there'll be an opportunity. There'll be some of us in the back, and maybe they would like to come and hear how they might have their life changed. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in our hearts today. I know what you're doing in mine. But Lord, have your way. Have your way today and be glorified in everything that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.